Amen and amen. Would you help me share my sermonic thought by talking to somebody that you came to church with this morning and just shout at them, neighbor, tell them, shake the snake. Shake the snake. My brothers and my sisters, as we pause and give consideration to the temperature of the climate that we are in today, I believe that many of us could consider this season one of ongoing despair, because all around us, the environment speaks without a seeming break for air of the toxicity of this moment. Because in this moment, believe it or not, death is still running more rampant than ever before. In this moment, disease is very much so still on the rise. In this moment, while we are still in the middle of a global pandemic, there are people who are lingering under the weight of oppression. In this moment, the news still daily renders bad report. And in this moment, people are still trying to recover from the weight of their wounds. In this moment, no matter how much normalcy we have sought to gain in this time, we are still in the midst of a devastating season that is very much so our collective reality. And many of us feel as though we have just begun to recalibrate our lives after the thick of the storm that has been our context for the last 20 some odd months. And unexpectedly, many of us are trying to recover from this matrix of monotony. This time that we have been thrusted into with seemingly nowhere to go, little to do, and much left to be accomplished. But if it isn't enough that we've been plagued by a global pandemic, it's another thing when the plague of the global pandemic has impacted or even enhanced the plague of our own personal predicament. Because the truth of the matter is that there is somebody who is seated in this sanctuary whose testimony today is that the pandemic around me wasn't worse than the pandemic within me. Many of us feel like we have been caught off guard and thrown off calibration. Essentially, we have been bitten by the unexpected nature of life. And when we found that we were thrusted into this place, we also realized that on top of that, we had not yet dealt with the unexpected nature of our own lives. Because the reality for many of us today is that I was already struggling to get over the things that had shaken my world before the world would in fact shake again. And this morning I am here to essentially deal with the reality that many of us are pressing our way back into the house of God. Some even still sitting and enjoying the benefits of virtual worship. But while we have the faith to press to this place, we are still struggling with the deception of life, and we haven't gotten over it yet. And I know that people are still wrestling because it's evident in the people. It's evident in the way that we live and in the way that we love, in the way that we trust and in the way that we think. It's evident in the way we move and even in the way we stand still. Many of us feel deceived by the complex duality of what I expected versus what I got. We feel deceived by the fact that life often hands us things that we never could have imagined or even asked for. And I'm not talking about the pandemic of this world, but I'm talking about the pandemic of your personal predicament. You know that trauma that took place in your life that like a disease has run your heart, your direction, and your momentum for far too long. I'm talking about people who have been bitten by the pandemic of rejection and being bitten by the pandemic of deception, being bitten by the pandemic of grief and being bitten by the pandemic of betrayal, being bitten by the pandemic of deceit and being bitten by the one who you let in that wasn't supposed to hurt you. I'm talking about being bitten when all of a sudden your mama or daddy was called home to glory without warning, being bitten when you lost that child unexpectedly, being bitten by that diagnosis that you didn't see coming, being bitten when your entire life seemed to collapse from under you, being bitten when your financial situation shifted from bad to worse in the blink of an eye, being bitten by family who were supposed to protect you and church people who were supposed to love you, and now you're sitting with yourself trying to figure out where did this even come from. And now because you're wrestling with what happened to you, you don't even know if you're coming or if you're going, if you're emotional, if you're standing still, because when we are bitten by life unexpectedly, it can cause damage beyond recognition. And the truth of the matter is that today, many of us are here still living out of the "I didn't see that coming" experience, that one thing that changed your entire state of existence, and you are navigating the best that you can. But what I have discovered is that when you are wrestling with what life has handed you, you often become so shocked at your core that you also become stifled in your feet. Life has a strange way of shaking you at what seems like the most inconvenient of times. Have you ever found yourself saying, "This really couldn't have come at a worse time than this"? And I had only just got back on my stride to be bitten again. And so today I have come to tell you that you are not in this thing by yourself, that there is a message in this text for your moment of mayhem that helps us to understand how to overcome being bitten by the unexpected nature of life. Because this, my brothers and sisters, is exactly what Paul is experiencing here on the Isle of Melita. Understand that maybe your translation calls it the island of Malta, but Melita and Malta are used interchangeably. Melita is an isle that has gained its name as a place of refuge. Understand now that Paul and a cohort of other prisoners were sailing into Rome, and I believe, y'all, that it is in fact important for us to set the stage to understand the disposition by which Paul is in when he arrives by happenstance at Melita, the place of refuge. Y'all don't mind if I talk Bible a little while, because Paul and the others are coming from 14 days at sea in which they are caught in a storm called Euroclydon. Now Euroclydon is a storm that has been given such a name because it carries the weight of a nor'easter wind. A nor'easter wind is one of these single most dangerous types of storms because it is a synoptic scale extratropical cyclone that derives on the western North Atlantic Ocean, and it speaks to the direction of the contrary winds. And now Paul is in the midst of a ship because in Acts 21 he was set up by his own people. The Bible helps us to understand that Paul has been set up by the Mosaic ritual keeper Jews. Now, what's even more important to understand is that Paul is a Jewish man who is now on his way to Rome. Those people who set him up were supposed to be his band of brothers. They were people who were of the Jewish descent. They were people who grew up with him, but he was set up by his own people. Do you know what it is to be set up by people who you thought were just like you, people who you expected to understand you? He is caught up because Paul is a man who believes that the message of Christ is able to convert both the Jew and the Gentile. Now, Paul is a man who lives according to the fact that Christ is over law. And so in Acts 21, Paul is set up by the elders who keep Moses' law. They wanted him to show that he was a compliant Jew who was able to keep the ritual of their tradition. And as a good servant, Paul goes and does what he is directed to do. They told him to take these four men. I'm in Acts 21. He said, go and purify yourselves. And when you return, Paul comes back to mass hysteria, because by the time he returns to the elders, there are a crowd of individuals who is yelling, and they are saying, Paul has now broken the laws of this place because he has taken Gentile men into the sacred place in the temple. Now, I can only imagine that Paul is stunned, but he's not shocked, because in the same chapter earlier in this journey, the Bible says that there was a prophet from Judea who had declared that the Holy Spirit had already told him that the Jewish leaders were going to bind him and hand him over to the Gentiles. In other words, y'all, Paul already knows that trouble is on the way, because when you're a man of God, you can be in the midst of a very bad situation and still have insight from God that everything is going to be all right. Paul was trying to do what was right, and so now he's bound up on trumped up charges. And so Paul, who is a Jewish man, is taken into legal custody as a prisoner and set to stand before the council of the Sanhedrin. Now, y'all know who the Sanhedrin are, because you're a Bible reading church. They are the same people who had Jesus stand in front of them on trumped up charges. In other words, the Sanhedrin has a history of bending the rules in their favor. So Paul says, listen, even though I am a Jewish man, I carry dual citizenship between now here, Judea, Jerusalem, and Rome. He says, so what I want you to do is take me before Caesar so that I can take my chances there. Now, I don't want you to get caught up on all of this, but I do want you to understand the disposition that Paul is in by time he arrives to the place called Melita, the Isle of Refuge. Understand that Paul is in custody aboard a ship, and now, because he is a man of God who we know has insight from God, he tells the guards and the captains, do not sail through these waters, because surely you're gonna run into trouble. But y'all, they don't listen to him, and so they sail anyway, and they sail right in the midst of Euroclydon, the storm of a lifetime. Have you ever found yourself in the midst of a storm that you tried to stay out of? He was caught up trying to do the right thing. He was listening to his leaders. He was following the instructions, but some kind of way, he still ended up in Euroclydon. And so now Euroclydon has come 14 days on the water. The ship doesn't make it, but Acts 27 says that all of the prisoners get there on broken pieces. So by the time we arrive to Acts 28, he is out of the midst of a 14-day storm that he is only in because he's been set up on trumped up charges by the people who were supposed to be his friends. And now, in the midst of trying to find a place to call refuge, he picks up the brushwoods, throws them in the fire, and out of the fire comes a viper. Oh, y'all, now here, this snake is attached to his hand. He is bitten by a snake. Can I be honest with y'all? That at this point, I would have been tired. I don't know what Paul is feeling, but by now, I would have been ready to let go, because Paul has been arrested on trumped up charges. He's been passed from court to court. He had to travel 14 days in a storm. He had to swim the rest of the way to the island. And then when I thought I got to a place of refuge, God, he finds himself just trying to get warm from all that he'd been through. And now a snake got a nerve to want to bite me on the hand. I don't know about y'all, but I would have been frustrated by now. And today I've come to preach to all the people who are frustrated, because it seems like things just keep on happening in your life. Today I came to preach to all the people who are frustrated. excited because it seems like you can't catch a break. Today I came to preach to all the people that can be real enough to declare, I'm here, but I'm tired. I keep showing up, but I'm tired. I'm trying to press, but I'm tired. I came to preach to all the people who've been asking, when is enough enough? I came to preach to the people who can be real enough to declare that I'm overwhelmed and traumatized by all that I have encountered. I've been trying to do the right thing. I've been trying to keep it together. I've been trying to hold on. But now when I get to the place that I think I'm about to catch a break, it feels like something else has come. And the crazy thing is that as soon as he gets to the place of refuge, he ends up in the worst situation of all. That last thing I could have handled, but this one is about to take me over the edge. Today I come to preach to the people whose testimony is like Paul. I was just trying to do the right thing and I ended up in a wrong situation, and I don't know how the snake got a hold of me, but I have made up in my mind that it's had a hold of me too long. And I come today in the presence of God to declare that this is the last day that what I have been bitten by has a hold on me. Today I have come to shake the snake. Today I have come to get my life back. Today I've come to get my stride back. Today I've come to get my stamina back. Today I have come to shake the snake. I wish you would wave at somebody down your row and shout, this is the last day. This is the last day. But maybe you're saying, preacher, help me to understand how to shake the snake. Because what Paul is bitten by is something that has the power to kill him. Yeah, Paul is bitten by something that has the potential to take his entire life. According to the enemy that Paul is facing, he is not supposed to survive this. Y'all, I came to preach to all of the people who know that the situation you're in does not look survivable. I'm talking to all the people who are facing a situation that seems insurmountable. And the reason why I came to preach to you is because what Paul does next is instruction on how to live beyond your bite. He doesn't stand there with the beast attached to him. And Paul doesn't even sit there and cry and scream, waiting for somebody to come and detach the snake off of him. Paul does not sit there staring at the impact of what was done to him. He doesn't even throw a fit about what's going on. But the Bible says that Paul shook off the snake. And today I've come to help you to understand that there is power in your shake. Would you wave at somebody on your row and tell them, neighbor, there is power in your shake. Understand that shaking is a motion. And it was that very motion that caused the thing that had fastened itself to him to get up off of him. In other words, his deliverance from what had a hold of him was directly connected to his movement. And the problem that I have now is that too many of us have allowed the things that have been us to hold us. We get frustrated and stop moving. Some of us are where we are today because we're busy sitting with our snakes and we are crying with our snakes. We've been frustrated with our snakes to the point where the snake and the bite has caused you stagnancy and the snake has controlled your momentum. But today I came to preach you back into your movement. Because your deliverance is tied up in your movement. I came to tell somebody who's been sitting too long that you can't stay here any longer, but you got to get up and you got to move and you got to do it now. Do me a favor, nudge somebody that you're sitting next to and tell them, neighbor, you've got to get up and you got to move now, because movement has the power.
power to counter the effects of the bite. In other words, y'all, what I have discovered is that your movement will cause your breakthrough. And I don't know about you, but when I look out in the world today, I see too many people who are stuck because of what happened to you. But today I come to declare, in the face of the enemy and under the presence of the Almighty God, that what has a hold of you got to let you go today, because this is your day to get back on your feet. Would you wave at somebody down your row and tell them, neighbor, tell them this is the day that you've got to move, because the Bible says that Paul shook off the snake in the face of the very people who thought that he was going down because of the bite. I know there are people who don't expect you to live from this, but I came to tell you that the Lord told me to say to you that it's time for you to move and live. You've been stuck long enough. You've been sitting long enough. You've been waiting long enough. But if you move this time, God said you're going to live. If you get up this time, God said you're going to live. If you shake one more time, God said you're going to live. Because living is the antidote. Living is healing. Moving is power. And there's power in your movement. I know, because I study anatomy and physiology, and I have discovered that motion carries benefits that die in stagnancy. Would you wave at somebody and tell them, neighbor, tell them the preacher has come to tell you that there's power in your movement. I want you to understand that movement produces energy. Would you help me preach my sermon? Tell somebody you came to church with. Tell them movement will produce your energy. Understand that energy is the human body's physical maintenance of its natural functions. In other words, energy is produced in order to transport oxygen through your bloodstream. It carries not only blood, and not only does it carry oxygen, but movement will produce cell growth, cell repair, and respiration. In other words, energy in and of itself is produced in your movement, but it also ensures that your body is fit to fight, because the more energy that's produced, the more immunity is produced. In other words, the more you move, the more you'll find the manifestation that no weapon that is formed against you shall be able to prosper. In other words, your movement will defeat the bite, and your movement will produce the immunity that you need to live beyond the venom of the snake. In other words, I came to tell you that this is your season to press, because the reason why you gonna live this time is because you gonna keep on moving. You gonna keep on pressing. You gonna keep on going. And you gonna soon find that what should have killed you doesn't have the power, because your movements produce the protection, and he will give his angels charge over thee to keep you in all of your ways. Would you shake somebody and tell them, neighbor, move and leave. I got to get out of here. But what I have discovered is that not only does movement produce the energy you need to find your body's immunity, but movement will produce pain reduction. In other words, y'all, what I found out is that the more you move, the better you feel. energy and movement will produce pain reduction, but movement will produce sharper thinking. Don't you understand that neurologists know that the more a body moves, the more you sharpen your memory, the more the body moves, the more you sharpen your recollection, the more the body moves, the more you sharpen your intellect. And can I tell you that I can only imagine that as frustrated Paul is standing there with the snake attached, he was probably in the moment where he wanted to quit, where he wanted to let go, but because he moved, it produced sharper recollection that the same God that brought me over when I was arrested is the same God that kept me on the sea, and the same God that kept me on the sea is the same God that healed me from the snake. And all I came to tell you is that if God did it way back then, as the old church would say, surely, surely, surely he will do it again. If God brought you over the storm, surely he'll keep you from the snake. If God brought you over the trouble, surely he'll keep you from the turmoil. Do I have anybody that has a recollection that if God did it then, surely he'll do it again? I got to get out of here. But what I have discovered is that movement will sharpen your recollection. And I know it should be so, because when I was a little girl, my daddy used to tell me about his Tommy Spears in the 82nd Airborne Division, when my daddy used to jump out of planes. And he told me a story about a firefighter jet pilot who was on the runway, and just 10 minutes after he took off, he realized that there was a rattlesnake in the cockpit of his plane. And so in the beginning, he started panicking. In the beginning, he got weary, but he soon remembered that his trainers taught him that snakes can't stand height. And so instead of landing, instead of going down, instead of crashing the plane, he just pulled back on the throttle and began to go a little bit higher. And as he went higher, the snake started snapping, the snake started rattling, the snake got crazy. So instead of landing, instead of dying, instead of quitting, he pulled back just a little higher. And all of a sudden, every snake had to die. Let God arise and your enemies be scattered. Don't you die. Don't you bow. Don't you bend. Don't you give up. Don't give in. But not your neighbor. Tell them, pull back on the throttle. Keep on going higher. Keep on pressing on. Keep on moving forward. How do you shake? You shake in your praise. How do you shake? You shake in your power. How do you shake? You shake in your worship. I don't know what you've been through. I don't know what got a hold of you. But today, I come to tell you, shake the snake. Keep on moving. Keep on going. On higher ground. Do I have anybody in one overcomers that's gonna shake yourself? I know you're hurting, but shake the snake. I know you're tired, but shake the snake. I know healing shows up. Shake till deliverance shows up. Shake till he does it in your house. Shake till he does it for your children. Shake till he does it for your buddy. Shake, shake, shake. I dare about 20 people that got crazy faith to get out in the house. Tell your neighbor, excuse me, but I gotta move. I've been here too long. I've been stuck too long. I've been crying. I dare you take one step and declare I'm moving. I'm moving. I'm... Shake. Shake. You ought to shake. You ought to shake till bodies are healed. You ought to shake till they try to figure out why you haven't died. You ought to shake until people are baffled. You ought to shake till the devil backs up. You ought to shake till your miracle comes. Shake, shake. You ought to knock somebody. Tell them, this is how I shake. This is how I move. This is how you... I just need about 30 people to start leaping and declare, I'm shaking it. I'm shaking it. I'm shaking it. I'm shaking it. Why you shout so much? Because every time I dance, something else got to back up off me. I got Paul. You were supposed to die. The conditions of your situation indicated that you were not going to live. Paul, how did you live? I shook off the beast. Too often, good to see you, Mignon. Too often, we become stifled in our feet. Because of the things that shock us at our core. And today I've simply come to tell you that I know what's been going on around us for the last 20 months. I know that that has created an internal warfare, but you cannot be still. If you stay still, you're gonna get stiff. You. I've had surgery before, and they tell you that if you stay still too long, you're going to start hurting. Today I came to preach to all the people who've been standing still to declare that your deliverance is here. Lift your hands. Woo! I want to pray for you today. God knows I wish y'all could get to this altar, but I'm going to pray for you where you are.
You know why? Because I believe that the prayers of the righteous not only avail much, but they transcend much. In other words, I ain't got to be where you are for prayer to reach you. Lift your hands if you want it. Father, in Jesus' name, hey, God, today I'm praying for every individual who is at this sanctuary, every individual who's on our online sanctuary, every individual who will hear this message in the future, every individual under the sound of my voice. And Father, I declare today that the power of stagnancy has got to be broken off of their lives. Today I declare that the power of stagnancy is not only broken, but it's defeated. Today I declare that the power that the enemy has had over them to control their momentum is defeated, that today by the power of God you are giving us our momentum back, that today by the power of God you are giving us our stride back, that today by the power of God you are endowing us with the power that we need to move forward and to press. Father, we apologize for sitting because of the impact of what happened to us. Today, oh God, we declare that we are walking in our gifts, in our callings, in our anointing, that we're going to pick up the vision. We're going to pick up the dream. We're going to pick up the mantle, and we're going to try again, because your word has come to tell us that if we move, we go near. And so, Father, now bless our movement. Bless our motion. Bless our willingness. Bless our press. In the name of Jesus, we know that you will do it. Just like the woman with the issue of blood who pressed to touch your garment. Father, thank you for blessing our press. We know that you are able, just like you showed up for the prayers of those who are praying for the escape and the release of your manservant. We know that you will bless our prayers. And so today, God, with uplifted hands, we receive the blessing, oh God. We receive your power, oh God. We receive, oh God, everything that you are endowing in us. God, we receive strength to move forward today. Father, some of us have been bitten by things that have haunted us for too long. Today I call for silence of every tormenting voice. I call for every demon from your past to be silenced in the name of Jesus. And I declare that it's got to release your momentum now to move forward in Jesus' name. Father, today as we declare amen, we don't just declare it as normal. We don't just declare it without faith. But God, when we declare amen today, we believe and receive that you are giving us the power to move in Jesus' name. Would you open up your mouth and shout amen in this sanctuary? I dare you praise him like you just got your stride back. Oh, I dare you praise him like you just got your momentum back. I dare you praise him like that snake gotta let you go. I dare you praise him like you know you're not gonna die from this. I dare you praise him like you know that the devil is already defeated. I dare you praise him like you know, ha, that you gonna live, you gonna live, you gonna live, you gonna live. Time is up. My time is up. Listen, before I leave this place, I speak a blessing of momentum over your lives. Ah, yes, Lord. I speak the blessing of momentum over your feet. Oh, I speak the blessing of momentum over your mindset. You've been still long enough. You've been scared long enough. You've been stagnant long enough. Nudge somebody you came to church with and say, move, 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 move. Let me tell you how your movement begins. Your movement starts in your praise, your prayer, your worship, your fasting, your consecration. It begins there. Why? Because that's the place where God releases strategy. Yeah. Your prayer, hallelujah, is the place where God releases the blueprint, the outline, for how you are supposed to reach the place of manifestation for everything you need your momentum for. It's in your prayer, it's in your praise, in your worship. Then that has to translate into your faith. Because what happens is God will give you a strategy until you do something strange. And see, it's easy to stay still when it seems like God is asking you to do strange things. See, he'll ask you to stretch out on your faith. He'll ask you to increase your faith. And he'll ask you to sacrifice in your faith. So today, I want to give you an opportunity to show God that you trust him with his strategy. His strategy don't always seem rational, but I'm a living witness that if you follow it, he will cause you to reach manifestation before you expect it. I remember the Lord asked me to do something strange. He asked me to seed into a young lady who I didn't know in the service. And I usually give to college students because I was a college student. I was sleeping on an air mattress for a year and a half in my apartment because I couldn't afford nothing else. Never wanted to call my parents. They got money, but I didn't want to call them. I was that kind of person. The Lord told me to seed into a student. I seeded $500 into her life. I was crying because I said, Lord, now you know I got to go figure out how I'm paying for my MBA. I've never gone to a master's program. I don't know how this works. I called the bursar's office. My cousin is here. She'll tell you the truth. I was on speakerphone. The bursar, Morgan State University, said to me, do you remember accepting a scholarship? I said, I ain't never even talked to nobody from this school. No. She said, well, you got a scholarship on your account, and your whole entire year is paid. I said, ma'am, does that account say Marissa Renee Farrow? She said, yes. I said, woo, thank you, Jesus. Got to school, first year in school, life changes, it's online. I'm gonna be real with you, I'm not a virtual student, I can't do it. I gotta go to class, I gotta look at people, I have to talk to you, I never know what's going on. So I didn't do as well as I wanted to do. Technically, I shouldn't have been qualified for an extension of my scholarship. You know something about it. The second year comes, call the school. I said, all right, lay it on me. How much is my bill? She said, Miss Farrell, it's nothing. She said, you have another scholarship that's been awarded to you. I said, lady, I know you lying to me. Does that account say Marissa Renee Farrell? The Lord told me to do something strange for another student. I did it, but he wanted to see if I trusted enough so that he can bless me with mine. Pastor Andy has laid out a vision for us in the Victory Park Center. And I want each and every person in here today to show God that you trust his strategy. I want every person to get a seed in your hand. I'm talking about something that you that's strange, something that you sitting there hurting for God. Ooh, Jesus. I don't know. I need you to do it. If you're doing it online, grab your phones. They're putting information on the screen. But I need every person in here to trust the leading of your great pastor and to trust the strategies of God. This is an opportunity. It's not an appeal. I could very much so appeal for you to give an offering today. But after this word today, the Lord declares I'm giving you an opportunity to show me that you believe my strategy. If you seed into this vision, God says, I'll bless your vision. Y'all ain't saying nothing to me. So right here in this moment, we're getting our seed. We're getting our seed. We're getting our seed. I'm going to pray over your seed. I'm turning the service back into the hands of the individuals. Come over my time. Pastor Andy, I'm sorry. Listen, every person, I want you to just today, I don't want you to slowly do it. I want you to do it like Paul did it. Do it with expedience. I want you to shake today. I want you to shake the spirit of fear. I want you to shake the spirit of stagnancy. I want you to shake the spirit of poverty. Today, you got to shake through that thing and show God that you believe his strategies. So right now, every person who's giving, will you do me a favor? Would you wave your devices in the air, your seat in the air, whatever you're doing, hallelujah. Thank you. If you're online, wave it at the camera. Come on, we want to see you. I'm praying over it. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for every gift and every giver. God, I thank you because I see gifts holding gifts. I see sowers, Father, who are going to receive exponentially in their life because they believe you in their strategy. Their faith is not just extended into theory, but it is extended into practice. And so today, Father, as we practice in faith, I pray that you would manifest in miracles. As we practice in faith, I pray that you would show up, oh God, in reality. As we practice in our faith, I pray and declare, thank you, Pastor Al. I command a blessing. Whoa. Hey, listen, y'all ain't received it like I received it. Pastor Al said, you got to command it. Today I declare and I command that a blessing is overtaking your house, your life. I declare promotion. I command it to come out of the atmosphere. I command your bills to be paid. I command a season of jubilee. I command that your children's children are being blessed by the decision that you make today. I command a miracle to show up in your life before December the 31st. I command it in Jesus' name. Now if you believe it, you are to see with the spirit of expectation and declare that it's already done in Jesus' name. Come on, open up your mouth and give him some praise. And
come on, can you stand to your feet and just thank God for that word? Come on, y'all, let's receive this word. Come on, let's just put our hands together and thank God for the vessel. Come on, did you receive that word? How many shakers we got in the building? Come on, just wave your right hand and say, I'm going to shake that thing off. I'm going to shake, it's been holding me fast. I'm going to continue to shake. Come on, any shakers in the building? Hallelujah. Wow. What an awesome word. Are you glad that you came to church today? Tell somebody besides you, I'm glad that I was in the house. Listen, we want to remind you, all of our first-time visitors, if you would take those cards out, there is a kiosk to welcome you, and we have a gift for you today. Also, we want to honor Ernest Pugh. If you would wave your hand, sir. An anointed vessel for the kingdom of God. He is here in town because Tamela Mann has a concert. What's the particulars? What time? 6:00 tonight at Duke Energy Center. Tamela Mann and Ernest Pugh are going to be there. Amen. Let's support Kingdom. Let's support Kingdom tonight. Can we do that? Amen. 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 We thank you and you for coming. I want you to do something for me next week. I want everybody to commit to bringing one person with them. Can we do that? Can we influence? Say, look, you got to be in the building. You need to be in the building. Amen. Can you wave your hand and say, I'm going to bring one person with me? Amen. Let's pack this place out and let's come with some anticipation next week. Amen. And we're going to pray and we're going to be dismissed. Come on, let's bow our heads. God, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for every song that was sung, every word that was spoken. Lord, we thank you for that word that came and changed us for time and eternity. We will not live a sedentary lifestyle, but God, we will shake it off. We will move, God. You will heal, you will deliver. Now, God, we absorb this word. We declare that we have been good ground for this word to be sown in, God, and it will produce much fruit in our lives. Lord, go into our week, Lord, and astound us. Lord, do something miraculous. Do something abnormal, God. Let us know that we are your children and you are our God. And we give your name glory and honor and praise in advance. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen, amen. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you next week. Don't forget to shake it off.